Hello and welcome to Karma Recaps, where we are talking this week about episode 5. My name, as always, is Aaron Robertson. Welcome to Karma Recaps. And today I am joined by the lovely Lily Brown, who was on Endurance High Sierras and also worked on Karma as a story producer. And it's an odd episode. So you story produced this episode, didn't you?
That's right. I did all the odd episodes. So, yep, this was my third one.
Cool.
Episode 5.
Yeah. And what an interesting episode this was in terms of not only the challenge, which I loved, but also the strategy of basically trying to, Gray coming up with the strategy to convince Purple to give them a coin so that the odds would be even. And they could,
a brand new strategy we hadn't seen before, which Huck came up with himself. So we'll get to that for sure. I thought it was great.
Let's go all the way back to the beginning. So basically, we just had Yellow Leaf, and we are down to the final five
games. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Gray came back, and we find out that Yellow has given their medallions to Pink.
Yeah, even though they sent them to the cave.
Yeah, and they're the first to have 6 medallions.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't really surprised because I knew that they were close with Pink. And I mean, everybody was out to get Yellow, honestly. So they have to give it to someone who was out to get them, you know. So they gave it to Pink, regardless. I guess because of their friendships. Oh, my oven's ready.
One second.
I'll be right back.
For those of you listening to the audio version, you probably also heard this beep, but I guess Lily has something in the oven and
it's
ready. What's in the oven?
A dairy-free pizza, which is actually delicious. Daiya.
Ooh.
It's very good.
Oh, I just had pizza. It was not dairy-free, but it was very delicious. And speaking of circle-shaped things, back to the medallions. Before the challenge, there's a disagreement going on between Huck and Sienna. Huck wants to send Pink to the cave, and Sienna wants to send Red and Purple to protect Justin from going to the cave. You know, Huck is like, you know, Red is using Purple as a pawn and is putting that out. Jack is shocked that Huck knew what a pawn was.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that Skyla's interview bite in that moment is like, we do the manipulating. Who do you think you're talking to? Or something like that. And that's a quote that has been quoted in my life since then.
Yeah, and I mean, before the challenge, we also have Avon is puking and is being treated for dehydration. So because of that, Pink can't even compete in this challenge.
Right. Yeah, so we didn't know what was going to happen there. But the medic decided let her sit this one out. And so Justin didn't get to compete, which sucked for him and for Pink team.
Yeah, they were vulnerable here.
Mm-hmm. And this was also the challenge where Andy admitted she wasn't giving her all before this. Mm-hmm. And so she said she was this time. So it worked out well for Red.
Yeah.
They were amazing in this challenge. The one to jump and catch a bar.
And for those who haven't watched recently or need a refresher, so this challenge was called Leap of Faith. And basically, you and your partner would jump at the same time to try to pull down this bar, which was rigged to this system that would ring a bell. And if somebody's timing was off, the bar would actually tilt up. And instead, they would just fall directly into the water without pulling the bar. So the first team to ring the bell 10 times would win. And yeah, red definitely did a great job here.
Yeah. I think gray and blue were actually purple did pretty well too. All the teams did really well, but red never missed. We'll have to ask Sienna about those backflops. Oh my God. It looked like it hurt so bad.
Oh yeah. So basically with red winning here, that means we have blue, gray, purple, and pink as options to be sent to the cave. And Hug is trying to convince red to send pink because, you know, pink made a deal with gray. They sent gray this last time. So, you know, probably should definitely get rid of pink here. And Luke is also saying pink, because pink wants to come after red. So they're trying to get red to.
Oh, right. This was the episode where, Luke claims to red that pink was going to come after you. Mm-hmm. And when Avon goes over to talk to red, she's like, oh no, call him over here right now. We never said that.
And then Luke and Ariana are disagreeing and the story is not exactly lining up and they quickly lose all momentum on that whole plan. So,
yeah. And so shortly after that, Michelle asks Red who they're going to send. And when they announce gray and blue, you remember what the reaction was like?
They were kind of sarcastic about.
Which, personally, I understood it. They were trying to take a moment that sucked for them and make something positive and funny out of it because they knew they were going to get sent anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Red and Pink didn't seem to take it very well, that they didn't take it seriously.
Oh, yeah. They didn't really like the whole deal that went on there. And I also do want to highlight before this log ceremony happens that Huck went to Purple and asked, hey, Purple, can you give Gray a coin? If you give us the coin and we still lose, we will give our medallions to you. And Skyla and Jack don't exactly buy this right away. They're not sure whether they want to give them the coin or not.
Right. Because, I mean, in their mind, it could be Gray just saying that and having no intention of doing that, but just so they could get the extra coin. So, risk and reward. I don't know. But, yeah, that was right before Michelle walked in to do the coin ceremony. So they really didn't have a lot of time to decide.
They really didn't.
What would you have done, Aaron? Do you think you would have done it just in case you would have gotten their medallions?
I would have given it because I would feel like, you know, even if Gray goes back on that, like on their, I mean, it's not like you have anything to lose if they come back in. So I would have given Gray the coin.
Yeah. I guess the only thing you have to lose is that Gray will be more likely to come back, but you don't want Gray to come back.
Right.
So, I mean, I probably would have done it too.
Yeah.
Just because you know the medallions are important. You just don't know what they're for. So if you can get one, do what you can to get one.
Yeah. And Purple's going to take this one step further here. And Luke is coming up to Jack and it's like, why did you give Gray your coin? And Jack just makes up this excuse on the spot of, well, you know, it's better to make the odds even so that all you had to do was find all of the coins because, you know, just in case Gray happens to find that one coin, you know, it wouldn't want you to be screwed because Gray was lucky enough to pick the, which I will say, I mean, that did happen, you know, because we found out that happened with yellow and green when green found their own coin on the first try. So it can happen. So, while the explanation was made up, the logic did actually kind of make sense to me.
Well, I remember watching that conversation in person and thinking, oh, wow, like, I think Jack's a little confused about what really happens in the cave. But, like, then later I did his interview and he was like, what I said was just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I just tried to make it sound smart. And I was like, oh, well, it worked because Luke believed him. Because, I mean, Luke was upset at first because he thought Jack, you know, did that on purpose and wanted Blue to go home. So it ended up working out.
So what I'm going to do here is I'm now going to have the gray team join us here.
Great.
Since they are both here. So first, you know, definitely somebody that stood out from the very beginning when they sat on the log and said, I know famous people, but also being Lohan, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And last but not least, we have Sienna here as well.
Hey,
hello, you guys both. Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
What repping the gray. I love it. So, first, what are you both up to now?
So, I am obviously doing lots of stuff related to this, you know, Karma interviews, stuff like that. But I also recently got casted into a short film, and so I'm working on that. And I'm looking at some other stuff if it might stem. So I hope that, you know, Karma kind of gives me a diving board for more opportunities.
Sienna?
I can't really hear Huck, but I just got home from the lake. So yeah, I was there this weekend with the family and I just got home. So yeah. But yeah, that's basically all that's going on right now. Just been at home with the family. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird time in the world right now.
Yeah.
Huck, are you trying to get into acting?
Yeah. I have been I've been doing like theater since I was in like fourth grade, and I've always been interested in acting. And so I think that's, if I can build a big enough portfolio, I think that I can get something rolling.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
So,
well, yeah.
I was going to go back to the first episode here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you guys about, well, first of all, so many people comment on your comment, Huck, your fun fact. I know famous people. Why did you decide to say that as your fun fact?
That's a really hard, like, I don't know why it just popped into my head, but it was just something that was kind of spur of the moment. And I do know some famous people, but like, I can't really think of anything else that's very interesting about myself. I mean, that's not true. I have other interesting things, but that was just one that was easy to say in one sentence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sienna, what was your first impression of Huck in the first day?
Okay, so my first impression of Huck was, well, after he said, like, I know famous people as this fun fact, I was like, oh, wow, like, you know famous people, like, you're cool. But no, I don't know. I kind of just thought, I thought he was a little bit like maybe like cocky or like stuck up or something. I don't really know. I didn't really know him very well, obviously, because it was the first day. But yeah, after that, I kind of was like, oh.
I think I got that impression from a lot of people.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That was just my first impression. But obviously, yeah. Huck isn't like that. And I know that now. But yeah.
So you both make it through that first Right to Stay challenge, and now you have you're all competing for the chance to pick everybody's partners. Now, I know that you had both mentioned that, you know, you weren't really too sure about each other, but did you have anybody at the time that you were really interested in being your partner?
I remember my first choice was probably Skyly. And there was a big conversation, a long conversation with Mac that I had that they didn't really show. And I felt like Mac and I were a lot closer socially and just personally than it was able to actually fit in the show. And so we had like a 30-minute conversation on who would be good partners and who would work well together and all this. And what I got from it, I thought that it was, you know, a good trusting conversation that we kind of built a bond. I could be wrong. It was just maybe I was jumping in the chase a little bit. But my first choice was Skyly.
And Sienna, what was yours?
I didn't really have, I don't think I really had anyone like in mind that I really wanted to be my partner. I think that like there's a lot of good competitors, but I just remember that I said when I went in to talk to Mac, I just said that like I didn't want Huck or Adrian, but yeah, there wasn't really anyone that I really wanted to be my partner. Yeah.
So Sienna, when you did get paired with Huck, was there a purpose behind you picking Humility and the Gray Team?
There was, yes. I felt like that was like a good chance for me to kind of like, I don't know, that was like kind of like the perfect chance for me to do that. And but yeah, definitely why I picked Humility. But
and she didn't
just because of that first impression thing. But after a while, I was like, he's not bad. He's not too bad.
He's not too bad. No, that's a good one. Are we going to hear about that?
I didn't like Humility is not a bad law of karma, obviously. And I'm glad that we ended up picking it because it pertained to at least me pretty well. But I didn't necessarily want the color gray because that was like, you know, I wanted red or some other cool color. But once we got up there, Sienna had her mind chosen. So it's not like, you know, I wasn't going to go. So we're a great team now, but I'm happy we ended up getting.
Did you guys know about the gray curse on Endurance?
No.
No, I still don't really know what it is.
Aaron, you want to tell them?
Yeah, so the gray team, basically pretty much almost every season had gone first. They were the first boot. Or, you know, they would do really, really, really well.
Basically.
Yeah.
Of the five seasons that had a gray team, gray went home first. And the one season they didn't go home first, they won.
So I was very excited. I was very excited when you won the... when you're able to avoid that fate.
Cooper and I were like, ooh, I hope everybody is going to win.
And so early on, we see that you connected with Red and Blue. What drew you to those two teams?
I'm not completely sure. I know that we, you know, there was as much socializing as we could, we fit into, you know, the periods that we were filming and the periods that we were allowed to talk, which we were just, at least I was talking to a lot of people trying to just feel everybody out. And I know I was watching what Skylie said. She saw me go up to a lot of people and that's true. I was trying to be comfortable with more people and try and talk to as many people as I could, because I wanted to be able to know who I was playing against or potentially playing with. So, you know, I saw the blue and red team and I thought, you know, a red team is certainly a strong team and the blue team could be one too. So I thought, why not make an alliance before anyone else can make an alliance with them so that we can kind of secure that.
Were you making a lot more alliances than we could show on TV?
I wouldn't say alliances, but I was trying to be as
deals, maybe.
Yeah, as familiar, and I just didn't want anyone to have a bad taste in their mouth, especially because the very first day you don't have a lot to build off of except pretty much first impressions, and maybe saying I know famous people wasn't the right thing to say right off the bat, but I wasn't necessarily making full alliances, but I know that me and Eli were really close, me and Adrian were really close. And I was just trying to be comfortable with the other teams at least just to start off with so that we weren't the, you know, the sore thumb sticking out of the crowd.
So far, we've gotten to hear a lot of different perspectives of what happened during episode 3, after the plan that Huck came up with to kind of, you know, test a theory. Hey, I think Luke is telling everybody everything. Let me see if he's going to continue to do this. What were both of your perspectives on what happened during that period in the game and what led to that huge blow up at that log ceremony.
Do you want me to go, Sienna?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So like, again, you can't fit all of every day into the TV show. So there was a lot you couldn't see, but that wasn't just that one incident. It was kind of building up and it was kind of, you know, getting us anxious because to have someone who you feel like you can't tell anything to, especially if you're aligned with them, really sucks. I remember one time I was talking with Adrian and we kind of got into an argument and Luke was standing right there. And I was like, Luke, tell Adrian that what I'm saying was right. And then he was lying about it because whatever the situation was, we had both encountered it together, but he was lying like right to my face. And it was like, I know that you know the right answer. And it was so frustrating for him to like swap sides and go against what he knew. And so me, Eli, and Adrian were kind of frustrated and fed up with having that just someone who's lying and flip-flopping. And whenever we would bring it up to him, he would deny it. Obviously, no one's going to say, oh, yeah, I'm flip-flopping on you. That's just not something you do. And so, like, we wanted proof. Like, you can't avoid this because this is literally what happened. We went up to the pink team and we're like, so just tell us when you hear about this. And we told him, and the first team that he went to was pink, right? Just straight there. And we were like, you cannot tell anybody. Like, we made it very clear. Don't tell anybody. We don't want this getting out. And that was actually an opportunity for Luke to prove himself as a trustworthy player. If it never got around, that would have been a really good thing in his favor, but he chose the opposite route and it ended up being this big volcano of released, you know, pressure that was building up.
Sienna, did you know that was going on? Because I mean, I know that you were close with Ariana, right?
Yeah.
So what did you think when you saw Gray and Blue fighting?
For me, it was kind of like, I don't think I knew. I don't remember, but I don't think I knew. Maybe I knew, but I didn't really like involve myself in it at all. So I feel like it was kind of like me and Ariana were totally, completely fine. And also we were like close with both of them. Like I'm sure Huck is close with Ariana and like I'm close with Luke as well. And so it was kind of like surprising to me that he would like do that. But like, at the same time, it was really just it was in the game and like Luke was playing the game his way, and yeah, so I was kind of like, wow, I can't believe Luke actually just went to pink team like after that. But I think that even still after that, we were still like close with the blue team after that, so Yeah,
you guys did like regain and rebuild your alliance and trust pretty quickly, which was kind of hard to make it come across in the show. You know what I mean? It's like, why do you trust each other again? You know, I was like, how do I let the audience know this?
The reason for that was sort of out of necessity. I mean, yes, we ended up trusting the blue team, but when you look at the standings and like the game was progressing so quickly when we were in it and it was moving fast. Like, and it's hard to look at all the pieces at the same time when you're trying to play the game at the same time. And so as soon as, you know, you look at it, you're like, oh my goodness, like yellow team and orange team were gone, which I was the closest with. And I feel like me and Sienna were pretty close to them too. And you're like, oh wow, it's pink, red, and purple against me and blue team. And we weren't, I'm not going to say us gray and blue were the strongest that we could have been, but we were strong enough to trust each other. And, you know, we didn't want another person coming after us. So we kind of bonded together out of, you know, I love Luke and I love Ariana. They're both great people. And I was willing to play the game with them. And Blue was a very good partner for us because, you know, they gave us that extra medallion to give it. I mean, excuse me, the extra coin to make it even. And so in that aspect, you know, I kind of gained more respect for them, because I feel like Luke was, you know, they could have used that coin to save themselves, but instead they used it to kind of like, I saw it as almost like a peace offering, like, okay, yes, I know that I have been flip-flopping in the past, but here's a token of my trust.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah. And so pretty soon after all of that fallout happens, we come back and Avon is sort of describing the dynamics that are developing between everybody in the camp. And it's so both of you are actually mentioned in two different pairings. Huck, you with Skyla, and Sienna, you with Justin. How did that all develop?
I know that especially Lily, she was interviewing me. She was trying to get me to answer these questions. We as a camp, we were talking. We were like, we're not going to let them. We're not going to give them material to be able to put frame us in this light, because we knew what was going to happen.
You were strategizing against the producers.
But I don't know. Maybe it was before the Avon said it. But it wasn't anything super serious. I think that Justin and Sienna were more intertwined than any else of us. It was more of just like really close friends that we would just, you know, lay with to watch the stars. It wasn't anything super serious like dating or anything like that. But
no, yeah,
we were just enjoying each other's company.
Yeah. Sienna, what did you think about that? What was your friendship like with Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like me and Justin were really close. Yeah, like I liked him. I still like him, but not in that way. Like I liked him like that on the show. but yeah.
Just what did you think about how much he liked you? Because it really seemed like he really liked you. Watching it back, what was it like to see what he said about you?
Yeah, so like actually, so like I was like, that was so sweet what he said, because I didn't know that he had said that until I watched the show, which was just the other day. And then, but yeah, that was really sweet. And like what he said, like when we left and like, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. But yeah.
So do you still have his hat?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Lily's totally going full producer on you right now.
You know, I gotta do it.
Yes, and for those of you listening, we had Keaton from Endurance 2 and also Survivor Dream Teamer just join us.
Sorry, I'm late, guys.
Repping your own green team here. So I really did appreciate the strategy that you both implemented in this episode of trying to convince Purple to give you the coin, knowing full well, especially, you know, from Sienna's point of view, that like, cool if you give us the coin, but we don't really owe you anything for doing that. Yeah.
I was wondering, how did that idea come to you? And did you guys actually have the intention of ever giving Purple your medallions, or was it just simply strategic?
Okay, so it was a godsend. It's totally popped into my head. I was trying to think of ways that people would really like. It's a hard offer to refuse, and I think it was a pretty good offer. I think it was. And I had all the intentions of, I was willing to follow up on that, but I remember standing outside the cave and someone asked us who we're going to give the medallions to. And I was like, we're going to give it to Purple. And Sienna goes, no, we're not. Not a chance. We're giving it to Blue. And I was like, I knew that she was really close to Ariana and Luke. And so I was like, sometimes you just got to give in. I was like, all right, that's how we're doing it. And I also thought it was kind of just funny, just to stir the pot a little bit, just to make some more commotion before we left. So, but I was going to do it. And I didn't think that they were going to doubt it. Like, if I was offered that, I would say, yeah, I'll do it, because what do you have to lose? You know, if they didn't, if they ended up giving it to Blue and we did end up coming back, that's kind of like a little bit of bad karma on them. And so, yeah. And even if we did come back, they wouldn't have received one anyway. So there's a chance to receive medallions, which they obviously didn't end up getting, but just that chance, I think, was just, it was kind of worth it, I thought.
Huck, you were somebody that came up a lot, not only in our interviews, kind of recapping the episodes, but also in throughout the season, about somebody that people said, watch out for, that, you know, is going to be lying to you or knows exactly what he's doing. Did you plan before you came into this game to come in kind of guns blazing with that kind of strategy? Or did you just get, like, did that kind of develop once you got there?
I think it was a little bit of both. I knew that, obviously, looking back in hindsight, going under the radar is probably one of the best ways to play, just because you're not having to be put in the spotlight and you're not having to have all these eyes on you. And that's, you know, a lot of different people play the game and they did it very well. But, you know, I've always watched, you know, Tony from Survivor and like those kinds of players who are so fantastic just to watch, you know, with his little spy.
Shack.
Just like that kind of moves where you really stand out. And so I didn't necessarily want to play quietly. You know, I wanted to win challenges. I wanted to have a blast. I wanted to be, you know, a big part of the game. And it might have put a target on my back, but I had a blast. And I would do a little bit, some things a little bit differently. Like I would have held my cards to my chest a little tighter, not let people know what I'm doing. Because I think it was kind of everyone knew what me and Shannon were doing. And so I wish that we had just kept things closer. But I came to the game knowing that I wanted to just win challenges and be a big part of like the competitiveness of the game.
Sienna, on that same note, you seem to have one of the best social games. Everybody seemed to like you. Was that kind of your strategy going into the game, is to really play socially, or were there other pieces of your strategy we really didn't get a chance to see?
For me, I guess I kind of was just trying to like lay low the whole time and make connections with everybody. I didn't want to really make enemies with anybody, because you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, like, I wanted to win challenges. Winning challenges is like such a great feeling, but like, definitely when you win challenges, it puts a huge target on your back. Like, even if you win the challenge out of luck, or like, no matter what, like, you have a target on your back after you win a challenge. Obviously, like, I had a blast. Like Huck said, like, me and Huck had so much fun on the show. But yeah, I think that, like, I mostly just wanted to just be kind to everybody, because you never know who's going to have the upper hand in the game. And like, also, all of those kids were awesome people, and like, yeah. So,
and
I guess it was a little bit both. I guess because obviously it helps making good connections with everybody, anyway. So,
and one of my favorite moments was in episode one, watching you, Sienna, go back in the challenge and helping Sierra sort of get back up onto the platform. What made you go back in and turn around and do that?
I figured, well, I mean, karma, obviously, like, helping others, maybe like that person will help you in the end, you know, or maybe everybody else will see that I'm like very helpful and that I'll be there for them and like they'll help me. And like, so, and I didn't really have anything to lose. Like, you know, they needed help. So I was like, why not? I'm just going to help them. I'm already up on the platform. Like, I know what I'm doing. But yeah. Yeah. I was also like, they were literally asking for help. So I just had to help them. I don't know if that's just me or what, but also karma, like I knew that that was going to come back to me. And I don't know exactly how it did, but I think that it did in the end.
And then the first team challenge, speaking of karma and Max karma at the time, putting the teams together, you guys ended up winning that, the one where you got to fill up the tubes. And can you kind of explain why you ended up deciding to send green and yellow to the cave?
Okay, so there was a whole, lots of different facets to this, lots of different reasons. And largely it stems from, someone has to go. There has to be two teams going to the cave. And so when you look at it, it's mostly about, at the time, who is the biggest enemy? And you look at green team and the way that Mac chose the teams, he gave everyone or almost everybody who they didn't want except for himself. And so when you look at it, that puts everyone at a disadvantage except for him, because he got his ideal partner in the perfect world. And everyone else got paired with someone who he thought were butt heads. And so even though they didn't really get a chance to prove if they were a strong team or not, we had to make a decision on whether or not, like, what team was going to go. And at the time, they were the biggest prospect. They were the biggest enemy. And it wasn't anything, against Mac or against Riley. You know, I love them both, and I came to them both before, we were even in partners, because I saw them as good allies and good teammates. And, if things hadn't turned out the way it did, don't get me wrong, I'm so glad I have Sienna as a partner. But just the idea of, I thought I had a trust bond with him. And maybe that was misinterpretation because it was too early, but maybe I'm just the kind of person who gains trust quickly. But I trusted him. And that's why I showed that segment of the curveball stuff, because I thought that he would listen to me and he would have, respected that. But just the fact that he didn't do that kind of, painted our relationship a little bit. And it wasn't just our decision. We were just the people who had to, ultimately put them up. But I think that around camp, it was also the consensus that green was probably at least the best team to put up at the time, just because, they felt the same way that we felt about, getting opposite partners, getting the way that teams were picked. And Max said it great. He said, all the teams are perfect. And I think that they were perfect. And I think that everyone ended up, getting along very well. But at the time, it wasn't anything personal. And we all agreed that, whatever happens in the game does not happen. It doesn't affect how we see each other on a personal level. And so we just thought the biggest risk was the best to go put up against.
Sienna, speaking of when you guys were paired as teammates, obviously neither of you really wanted each other at the beginning and were a little upset that you guys got paired, but you guys seemed to kind of bury the hatchet almost the quickest and find common ground and work really well together and not really have any team issues for the rest of the time you guys were in the game. How did you guys do that so quick? And any advice to maybe future Karma players if you get paired with somebody that you might have not been your number one choice?
There's no way out of who you get picked, who we got partnered with. There's no way out of it. So we kind of just had to just put everything behind us and move forward and work as a team to try to win, because that's what we both wanted. And we did that really quickly because we literally had no other choice but to just do that and try to work our best together. And we did. And it was really fun, honestly. And we turned out to be really good partners together. And we didn't win, but I wouldn't say it has anything to do with how we were partnered or anything, but yeah.
Also, you guys are a great team. Go ahead.
Just to touch on that, I remember directly after we got paired together, I sat down with Jen. I was like, whatever bad blood or whatever animosity we have, I think we should just forget about it. Just put it behind us, because we can either put all of our energy into bashing heads and, you know, fighting about the fact that we got put together when it really wasn't our choice, or we could dedicate all that extra energy forward into the game. And I think that that kind of happened with Adrian and Presley. They kind of spent a bunch of their energy against each other when they could have spent that energy outwards moving forward in the game. So I think that was just the first thing we did. And it wasn't even that we didn't like each other. We just didn't have that much time to talk and get to know each other as well. And being put as partners allowed us to have that time. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything personal, but, you know, at the very beginning, you look at all the things, and me and Sienna weren't really on the same page the very first day, but we ended up getting easily on the same page the second and third day, and then we just picked it up from there and moved forward.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to delve into the spoiler part of the section. So before we go to our sponsors, where can people who are spoiler free, who haven't seen the rest of the season, follow you, Sienna, and Huck? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Huckleberry_Flan. And if you really want to, it's not really anything to do with karma. It's just me goofing around. You can find me on TikTok at Huckle Hash Brown.
Huckle Hash Brown, you said?
Hash Brown. It's Huckleberry Flan, F-L-A-N.
Oh, and what? I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Huck, what kind of TikToks do you do? I don't know anything about TikTok. So what's like the content that I can be expecting if I follow you on TikTok?
Just comedy, just silly, just no meaning jokes that are just pop into my head and I just feel like making them. Nothing dedication. It's just, if you see, you'll just, they're just, what is this? This is just stupid.
Sienna, where can we follow you at?
You can follow me on Instagram. It's SiennaSophia1. And then I have two Instagrams. My other one is just like professional stuff, I guess, like modeling, acting, singing stuff. It's Sienna_Sophia_official. And then my YouTube is Sienna Sophia. I haven't really been posting on there recently, but I think I'm going to start posting more on it because it seems like a lot of fun.
Great. Awesome.
Cool. So thank you so much, spoiler free people, for being here with us. Go ahead, watch the last three episodes, come back, listen to the rest of this. And if you have watched the whole season, well, get ready, because we're going to talk about the whole thing. So now we're going to take a quick break and then return with the spoiler section.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. Spoiler. Woo! 3, 2, 1. And okay, so what were your thoughts on how everything played out after you left?
I think that it was so cool watching it because it was all new to me. Obviously, we hadn't seen it. So, it was interesting to see how these different dynamics played out, because in the very beginning of the show, it's hard to spread coverage over 8 teams or however many teams. But now that there is only 2 teams, you know, it's so easier to delve deeper into the details about strategy. And, you know, Jack explained what he was thinking all the time very well. And, you know, watching him, like, we all knew he was a smart kid. I remember I played chess against him and he beat me in 15 seconds. So he's a brilliant kid. And watching him and his cogs turning in his head was really fascinating, because you can see the influence of all these previous Survivor players in his head, and you know, almost like Cochran, for an example, who is just who you think thinking and thinking and thinking constantly, you know, just seeing every possible move and thinking like a chess player, which he is. It was so interesting just to watch all that.
Was there a Survivor player you feel that you played like?
Not that I can name, but just like, you know, I tried to channel the spirit of kind of, you know, the way that I wouldn't compare myself to Tony in any way, shape or form, because Tony is Tony. You can't match that. But, you know, kind of like a little bit of that same, you know, energy. I remember there was one point that I was kind of surprised it wasn't shown, but
I know what you're going to say.
Purple and Pink were talking in a cabin, and I said, this, you know, spy. And so I ran over, I snuck down, and I was laying next to the cabin, under, like half underneath it like this, just spying and listening. And I remember Purple, or some team was watching us, like, what are you doing? And I was listening, trying to hear what they were talking about. So, just that.
I have to ask. We talked to Aaron and Andy, and they were really certain that you guys were going to give them your clue in that final challenge, and you decided to give it to Purple. Is there a reason that you gave it to Purple over Red?
It's kind of funny because the same thing happened with the medallions, I think. Originally, I wanted to give it to Purple, and then me, Adrian, and Eli had a conversation about, you know, what happened. And I think that Red team fought through their way and earned it by challenges and stuff like that. And so when it came down to choosing it, I go, I think we should give the thing to Red. And Sienna goes, absolutely not a chance for giving it to Purple.
I love how Sienna was like, boom, this is what we're doing.
Sienna, you were dead set on not giving your medallions to Purple, but in the end you were dead set on giving your clue to Purple. So why was that? Why Purple over Red?
I don't really totally remember why, like what my thinking was on that, but I remember that we all wanted to make it even, like who got, like both of the teams had even amount, I think. And if we gave ours to Red, somebody else would have given theirs to Purple. And honestly, I would have been fine either way. But I think that I was just closer with the Purple team than the Red team. And maybe me and Huck should have, like, discussed it more and, like, said, like, why we wanted to give it to what team. And I think I just kind of was like, no, we're giving it to Purple. But, yeah.
Were you surprised? I mean, because a lot of people, I would think, didn't really, in the moment of being in the game, see all the strategies that Purple was doing. Watching the show back, where you're like, oh, like Purple really deserves to win now that I know all the behind the scenes of what they were doing.
Absolutely. That's, you know, and that's what I kind of wish that I had channeled, that same kind of energy of only, you know, really talking between each other. You know, the way that I played, I spread myself so thin, trying to be okay with every team instead of dedicating that energy either into just one partnership or two partnerships, and having that really, really close ride or die, relationship. And looking back, they were really, really good at keeping things under wraps and keeping things in their little own bubble.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys seem to have a pretty ride or die with Blue team.
Yeah.
Is that not the case? Okay.
It was, it was, we were very close. Don't get me wrong. But I think that, like, you know, at times we would get a little butt heads. And I think that happens with any sort of relationship. You're not going to have any, you know, thing with anyone else and not fight. Like, that just doesn't happen. So, but we were, by the end, we were really close, and we were like, we knew that we were each other's first pick and first, you know, right-hand man.
Did you have any favorite moments that weren't shown, either of you?
Let me think. I was very surprised that the hiding thing wasn't in there. But there was also at one point where I knew that I was screwed. Like, Gray Team was screwed. Like, the whole being nice and everything was crumbling, and you were like, oh, trying to pick up all these pieces as they're falling. And so I was like, maybe it's time to just stir things up. And so I went to every team. You saw a little bit when I was saying that Purple was Red's pawn.
Yes.
Maybe I didn't do a very good job at it, but I went to every team. I went to Purple, Pink, and Red. And I just talked smack about every other team. You know, I went to Purple saying, Red is your pawn. They're using you as a game piece. And then I went to Red team, like, Purple is this mastermind and Pink is just switching up. You can never trust them. And I went to Pink team saying, Red team is going to end up turning on you and they're going to put you in the spotlight. And so really, I was trying to make another whole, I was trying to make them fight in between each other, and they were a lot closer than I thought they were. And so that's why it just kind of fizzled out, because, you know, they trusted each other too much to have let that in between them. But, you know, a big commotion saved me before when Yellow and Orange started up that big fight. And so I was trying to get it to start again, but that's probably why it wasn't shown, because it didn't really amount to anything. But it was worth trying.
Mm-hmm. For Sienna, did you have a favorite moment as well?
There were so many. I was talking about this with Ariana the other day, but so this wasn't even on filming, I don't think. It was just some random day, but we hadn't shaved our legs in like a long time, and we wanted to shave our legs, and in the showers, like, we only had a certain amount of time to shower, like 2 minutes maybe, like, so we didn't have time to shave, like, in the shower. So we went to the creek and we started shaving our legs in the creek, and Ariana cut her knee because it was cold water and, like, not hot water, so we should not have done that. But and we kind of got in trouble because they're like, you can't shave in cold water, like, what are you doing? But we're like, it's Shaver Lake, like.
Because that was actually the lake right next to you guys. It was called Shaver Lake. So you like the kind of like off camera, just fun random moments being out.
Yeah, there's so many.
But there was one more that I could think of that I was kind of sad that they didn't put in. I was half expecting that it would be, but me and Aaron were so much closer than it was able to be portrayed on the show, because, like I said before,
Aaron said the same thing. Aaron said the exact same thing.
We were the best buds. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I remember one night, me and Aaron, we went up to the showers, and we found a way to climb on top, and we were just laying on top of the showers, like on top of the shower cabin.
Oh no!
Lily's face.
Oh no, we're gonna have to like block those off next season. Okay.
I know.
I'll take notes.
One of the sad, like, the things I was so expecting to put in, because whenever I came back from the cave, and when I came back in episode 8, I distinctly remember Aaron just not even making eye contact with anyone else. He ran around everybody else and jumped right in my arms like this. And I was sad they didn't show that, because it was a good moment. And but like, we were doing these trust falls, and we would do it from the cabin you know, that platform. And he would trust fall off the side of it like this, and I would catch him like an inch off the ground. And so we were pretty crazy.
This is why we had to be like chaperones. Keep your eye on them. They're so bored.
You guys are troublemakers.
We had to find fun in some way.
You guys have a blast, huh?
I have to ask you before we wrap this up is, where does your name, did your name come from like the Tom Sawyer Huckleberry Finn book, or like where did your name come from? Because I think it's so cool.
It's come from, you know, there's always different reasons. My legal first name isn't Huckleberry, Thompson, T-O-M-S-O-N, because my dad's name is Tom, and so it's like that. But my given name, everyone calls me Huck. That's just what, like, my name is. But my mom always describes it. My sister has a really unique name, too. Her name is Luella. But, like, my mom always describes it as she didn't want me to ever be able to find my name on those license plates that you find at Disney on those carousels.
That's literally what was like a struggle I had as a child. And I was so mad at my parents because I could never, with my name being Keaton, find my name on that. And it's so funny because my mom's like, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? And I was like, no, it's not. Like, I was so mad.
And I love my name. I love that, you know, it's unique. And it kind of, some people think it's stupid. Like, why would I, you know, some people like it. Like, some people think, oh my God, Huck's a cool name. Some people like, why would you name your kid Huck? Like, I get these people who are like, I'm so sorry that your parents named you Huck. I'm like, I don't care. It's that. I like my name. And yeah, that's pretty
much. Huck and Sienna go together very well. So it's like, yeah. Huck and Sienna, your team. Of course.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Course.
So, final thoughts? What are your final thoughts on the experience? Anything else you want to share with us? Or advice for future players?
I had an absolute blast. I had the time of my life. And, you know, I think a lot of us, when we got there, we were thinking, like, man, this is so cool. And some of us weren't even playing for the money so much. We were just playing to stay in the game because we were having so much fun at camp. Don't get me wrong, there were very boring parts. You know, some days we weren't allowed to film, and so all we were doing was sitting around playing cards. But even just having that community of 24/7, being around these people all the time, you know, we will never, ever be in that same situation in that same area again. It's kind of sad, but like, it's an experience I'll never forget. And if anyone's listening who's able to try out for Karma, 100 out of 10 experience. If you can do it, just try out, just try and do it, because, you know, I was skeptical about, you know, whether or not I was going to actually get on to the show or anything like that. But you know, if you can just at least try, nothing's going to happen if you just try out. And if you get on the show, then props to you, because it is a blast. It's so much fun.
Sienna, any final thoughts?
Have a chance to try out, which a lot of people do have a chance to do it. It's like, I don't know how many times I will tell you, just do it. It's probably the greatest experience I've ever had. It was amazing. Like Huck said also, like, there's not going to be, like, another chance. Like, well, I'm sure there's similar things that we could do, but, like, this was once in a lifetime, and it was really amazing, and we met so many people, and honestly, like, making all those friends was so, I mean, like, we're closer than friends. We're, like, almost like family. Like, we love each other. We're so close. And I'm so happy that I did it. And, like, everything was awesome. Like, yeah, just do it. If you have a chance, definitely do it. Don't hesitate.
And it's just touching on that, I'll be quiet soon. I just have a lot to say. These friends are lifelong friends. If you have this shared experience, that, you know, is just so prominent in your mind. And like Jack said on the show, it's before karma and after karma. And you make these friends that are just so inseparable. I remember after Stan and I left, we went on a vacation around California for a couple days until we got called back for episode 8. And we just, even that, we had so much fun. We went around, we traveled to, you know, Carmel and Monterey, just having fun, just exploring, and just, you know, we didn't have an agenda. We were just going around, like, and we, after, no, after, when we were waiting, when we got back to the hotel, when we were about to go, I remember taking a trip with my mom, Skyla's dad, and Jack's mom to Yosemite. And you don't just get to walk. You don't just get to, like, hey, let's go to Yosemite. You know, usually they're like planned trips. And so you just being able to go there, you have these opportunities to make it such a memorable experience. And I had so much fun traveling with Sienna, and I had so much fun traveling with everybody, and, you know, being around everybody and being that environment of friends who are just from all over the country, all different backgrounds, all different, you know, people like Eli and Ilya and Matt. Like, I wouldn't be able to meet these kinds of people in my community because it's rather small, but like being able to reach and be friends with people from completely different walks of life is very, very, very worth all the time and effort.
It's so good to hear you guys say that, because I'm 17 years out of my experience, and I'm still best friends with my partner. I hope that you guys can, like, really share this camaraderie that I see both of you feel with the rest of the kids from Karma, because you're all such good kids, and I just wish the best for you guys. I'm so happy you guys really value the experience and see the value in it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we had mentioned this earlier before, but, you know, you had both ended up picking humility as your law of karma. Did you feel like humility has played a large part in your life post-karma?
I absolutely think it has, you know, especially in the game and out of the game. Or in the game, Sienna was always checking me not to be cocky, like, Huck, make sure you know, you remember that the law of karma, you gotta kind of keep it up. And I was like, okay, you're right. And so I think myself as a confident person, and yes, sometimes I do run the line of being cocky, and, you know, having this experience is eye-opening. And, you know, just, it was like, because I had that kind of confidence, overconfidence kind of situation happened before in my life, and, you know, to be able to learn how to just be like, okay, hold on, step back, am I being cocky, can I just, you know, be humble instead? Will humility be better in this situation? And, you know, I think I've learned a lot from having that law of karma and having, you know, that ability to step back and be like, okay, Huck, you're not all that, just relax, stay humble, you got it.
It's good to hear it stayed with you.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
It's been such a pleasure talking with the both of you and getting your perspective on everything. And I have to say, you know, I have come to appreciate the cast of Karma so much. I mean, I already liked everybody, but, like, after really getting to talk with everybody even more, what a cast that Karma had. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great job. And congratulations, you guys. It's hard enough to get on the show, let alone, you know, really take away such a positive experience. And also, both of you seem to have very positive influences on the other cast members. So, way to go. I can't wait to see what you guys both do in the future.
Yeah, me too. And thank you so much for joining us for the podcast.
Absolutely.
So many great things to say.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, good luck with everything, guys. We'll keep in touch over social media.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm glad you guys liked it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We really liked it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.
And there you have it. That was the Gray Team. And I love the Gray Team. I really thought they brought a lot to the show of Karma. And I think it's really great to hear that they both took a lot out of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I both of them such great characters, and just, you know, it's so hard to think of something negative about any of these teams. So it's been really fun getting to talk to all of them on this type of level. So yeah, looking forward to next episode. Sorry I missed the recap, guys.
It's all good.
Hey, that's quite all right. We still got a lot of season left to talk about. So until then, how can everybody find the both of you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tiger Lily Brown, on Twitter at Lily27Sings, and I also have a second Instagram, Lily27Sings. And I'm also running the Karma Instagram at Karma on HBO Max.
You guys can follow me all over the social web, media, whatever, at Keaton Markey. It's just my name.
And you can follow me on Instagram at TheOrangeAA and on Twitter at AARobertson94. And as always, what goes around comes around. And thank you so much for listening to Karma Recaps. And we'll see you back for episode 6.
Bye.
Bye.